Amen. Thank you so much, Drew. And we are going to go to the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Find your place in Ephesians chapter 5. And once you find your place in Ephesians chapter 5, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As you're turning, I want you to understand that this time of year, things are going quick. How many of you ever played that old video game, Mario Kart? Anybody ever play Mario Kart? Yeah, that's an old one. They come back with new Mario Karts, but in Mario Kart, you're just driving, and it feels like you're driving slow, and then there's a strip there across the road, and when you go over it, it just speeds right up. You just go really fast, like a booster. Well, once you hit Thanksgiving, it's kind of like that. I mean, Thanksgiving through December, and then January, it's just a boost, and you're gone. We're already in January, and we're like, well, where did Christmas go? And that is why I like to start early on our Christmas singing, Christmas carols, amen? But, I wasn't going to go there. I wanted to let you know, January 11th, men, January 11th, start inviting people. That's our Beast Feast. And I'm excited. I have a new friend coming. Brother Cox is coming from Greenville, South Carolina. Probably the best beard on the internet, Brother Cox. He's coming. He's gonna preach for us and speak to the men. I'm excited to meet him and to have him up. I've heard great things about him. But you be here, and so I'm telling you that right now because I want you to go out and kill a bear or a deer or a duck or a squirrel and bring the meat in and cook it nice and. And we'll have an enjoyable time. I did not call it the wild game, okay? It's called Beast Feast. Why Beast Feast? Because some of you are not hunters, and the only hunting you do is in the Isle of Ingalls, and you look for the chicken, and that's a beast, all right? So that we have that, so you can bring chicken if you want, anything that is a beast. And so we call it the Beast Feast, January 11th, and I want to go there and invite the men. It's right around the corner, all right? And we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. But it didn't stop there. Does that sound like a command to you? It sounds like a command to me. In everything, give thanks. It doesn't stop there. He says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." How many of you want God's will for your life? Amen. Amen. God wants to reveal His special will for your life. But there's some things He wants us to do in the Bible that He's already commanded for everybody. And this is one, to be thankful, to be grateful. In everything, give thanks. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's start in verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? We learned about being filled with the Spirit. When you're saved, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Now, being filled with the Spirit is being controlled by God. What does that mean? That means you're not controlled with your flesh, with your wants, but you're controlled with what God wants. Okay? Your desires start to line up with His desires. The Holy Spirit is leading you. That's being filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, once it says that, it goes into some evidences of being filled with the Spirit. And verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. I think it's talking about Christmas carols there, but I'm not sure. I can't. We can apply that, though. Then in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that being filled with the Spirit produces this attitude of thanksgiving. This life, with me, are you with me? This life of thanksgiving, being filled with the Spirit. I'm indwelled when I accept Christ as my personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be sitting in here this morning and death has not become real to you yet. I want you to know death is real. Hell is real. Real people die and real people go to hell. But I want to give you some good news. Heaven is real. Real people pass away, and real people go to heaven. I'm going to be one. And there's a reason for that. It's not because I wear a suit and tie and I come to church. It's not because that my dad is a pastor, my parents go to church. The Bible says it's not of good works, and there's no plan that I can follow that gets me to heaven other than that's in the Word of God. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, righteous Father, but by me. God is the righteous Father. No one gets to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And for me to have the Holy Spirit in me, for me to have a relationship with God, for me to be saved from an eternal hell, is to very simply believe on Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you this morning. You say, Pastor Creed, that may be the first time I ever heard that. You say, Pastor Creed, I've heard that a couple times, but it's never been real to me. I've never done that. I want to encourage you. I want to plead you to do that today, to accept Christ as your Savior. It's not too easy. And right now, it's not too late. No matter what you've done, God wants to forgive you. And God wants to be part of your life. And those of you that have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. And we can walk in the Holy Spirit. And watch this. We can be always, always thankful. Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Let's pray. Well, we love you. Thank you for this time that we can look in your word. I pray that you help us now. Be with us as we look in your word about this thought, always thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. On December 4th, 1619, a group of 38 English settlers arrived at Berkeley Hundred, about 20 miles north of Jamestown. Their charter stated that the day their ship arrived shall be yearly and perpetually kept holy as a day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. Since then, throughout our nation's history, we as a nation have regularly observed a national day of thanksgiving. In the present, it is always celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November as set by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1939. So this week we celebrate Thanksgiving. It amazes me that right after Thanksgiving, we go out. We're thankful for everything that we have. Right after Thanksgiving, we go out and try to buy more. Amen. On Black Friday. But there is a national holiday called Thanksgiving, and I love my country. I love America. I want you to know that. The good old USA. I love those people who put their lives on the line for our freedom. I love our military. I love our police force. I love those that put their lives on the line every day in America. I love our firefighters. I love our first responders. I love the American people. We're a melting pot. Many people from all different nations come to America. What a great country this is. But let's not get mixed up with the abundant Christian life and the American dream. The abundant Christian life is not the American dream. It's better. We have a home in heaven. We have a greater cause as Christians. I want you to know the foundation of our gratefulness. Now, I want you to listen to this. The foundation of our gratefulness is our Father's greatness. We sang today, "How great thou art." How many believe God is great? God is great. And that's the foundation of our very gratefulness, of being great, being grateful, being thankful. So I have a question for you today. Are you always saved? If you get saved once, do you have to get saved again? The answer is no. Why? Because God doesn't kick you out of his family. There may be some discipline here and there, but God doesn't kick you out of his family. You're always saved. Are you always provided for? Are you always protected? Are you always loved by God? Let me ask you this. Are you always thankful? Are you always thankful? In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Number one, let's look first of all at thankfulness is a command. Thankfulness is a command. We look at the commandments in the Bible and we say, well, there's a bunch of rules and regulations. And well, it's not, thankfulness is not about a rule or regulation. Thankfulness is about a relationship with God. When our relationship with God is right, our gratefulness will be right at the right place. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks. Likewise, in Ephesians 20, the Bible speaks giving thanks. The first thing we need to understand about being thankful is we should be thoughtful. We should be thoughtful. The root of the word thankful is thoughtful. Thinking always precedes thanking. Thinking always precedes thanking. I cannot be thankful until I'm thoughtful. You cannot think, or you cannot be thankful until you think about what you're thankful for. If I said everybody's going to come up here in the microphone and everybody's going to say in the microphone what they're thankful for, you're going to have to say it in front of everybody. What would you do? You'd think about it, wouldn't you? Why? Because you have to think about those things. I think of an example of Isaac. The Bible says in Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year at 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The fruitful year that Isaac enjoyed was due to God's blessings. Each of us can say that the Lord has blessed us. And when we think about what we're thankful for, our thought must return and go to God. Because everything you have is a gift from God. We have two mothers in here that, beautiful children, just born. Isn't it beautiful to see those children? Isn't life precious? How many of you have children? Yeah. How many of you know the Bible teaches that children are a gift from God? Amen. Are you thankful? Have you thought about your children? Well, Pastor Greg, you don't know my child. No, I don't, but I know your God. And your child is a blessing. Deuteronomy 2:7 says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee and thou hast lacked nothing. Deuteronomy 2:7. Think about that. Thou hast lacked nothing. Oh, no, 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 Pastor Creed, you don't understand. I'm lacking something right now. Miss Lisa came to me today and she said, Pastor Creed, I don't have a washer and dryer. Would you pray that I get a washer and dryer? It's the only thing I'm lacking in my apartment. I was talking to my aunt the other day. And my aunt said that she teaches in a public school, and she said these kids, they don't like to go to gym, or they don't like to go in front of their kids because their parents, they don't want to buy a washer machine or a dryer, so they have to wear their clothes wet to school. Let me ask you, what are you lacking? What are you lacking? It said that no matter what state you're in America, that 99% of Americans are better off than 99% of this world. I mean, think about it. If we're going to think about some things and we're going to be thankful, let's start with this. What are you lacking? What don't you have that you wish you had? Don't we think about that too often? I'm going to give you an answer to that. As I'm looking out, there shouldn't be anything. We should be content with what God has given us. We learned in the missions conference that God has given you exactly what He wants you to have for a purpose. Everything you have has a purpose in your life to fulfill God's will. And first of all, God's will is to be thankful for what He's given us. A man by Johnson Oatman wrote this. He says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. How many? That might take all day. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. We need to think. Be thoughtful. Then we ought to be thankful. We should be thankful. We should be thankful. The word thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20 simply means to be grateful, to express thanks. The word was often used to speak of saying grace at a meal. We ought to think about our blessings, and we ought to express thanks to those blessings, for those blessings. It is also a sad indictment of a generation that we are unthankful as a generation, as a country. Many children must have the new this and a new that. The new iPhone's coming out. In fact, in less than a week, you'll see many department stores, they will be lined up at midnight. Lines upon lines trying to get in and buying their yard sale inventory. Because we know in about 5 years what they're going to buy will not be in their house or not be wanted anymore. I want the new TV. I want the new iPhone. I want the new smartphone. I got to get these new sneakers. I'm telling you what, tennis shoes are outrageous nowadays. I used to play in the I thought I was high on the hill when I got tennis shoes from Walmart. Now it's like, you better not give me tennis shoes from Walmart. I remember, don't judge me, okay? Please don't judge me. I got the Velcro tennis shoes. I'll deal with those that are laughing at me later. I got the Velcro. I thought, saves time. But you know, I was cool. I crisscrossed the Velcro, okay? I was cool. And we played basketball. I played basketball in these shoes that they were called Shacknosis. And they were white and they had this little swirl on them. And I got them from Kmart. Guess how much they were? $16.99. Amen. And now you got $200 shoes. I want to tell you they're the same thing. They just have a different name on them. You put them on, and what do? They keep your feet from the dirt. You're paying $200 for something to get dirty, to step in the dirt with. I don't get it. But people will line up this Friday and they will get something they can use for just a couple years, and they can say to their friends, I got the new tennis shoe for hundreds of dollars. Yet, if they don't get it, they're ungrateful. What if you don't get what you want for Christmas this year? What if you don't get what you've wanted for the last 2 years for Christmas? I wanted this new car, or I wanted this new TV, and it didn't come. Will you be ungrateful? No, because we need to be grateful. We need to be grateful. Diving off a raft into shallow water, Joni, a young lady and a young Christian, severed her spinal cord. The water was too shallow. As soon as she dived in, her head hit the bottom. Joni was lying there, face down in the water, could not move. Can't move her arms, can't move her legs, and she's in the water and she can't breathe. On the raft is her sister facing the other way. This is a tough situation. She's very conscious about the situation, hoping and praying that her sister will find her. A crab crawled up and bit her sister. After she shook the crab off, she turned to warn her sister, Joni, about the crabs, and seeing her laying face down in the water, she went and rescued her. They got her to the hospital. The doctor, after working on her and surgeries, told her, you'll never walk again. You'll be sitting down for the rest of your life. Said, you can't even move your hands like you used to. You can't use your hands. It'd be very difficult for you to even feed yourself. Now, this is a young lady, not married yet. Dreams of finding a husband. Dreams of a wonderful life. Just a young lady in her early 20s. But Jody, Erickson Tata said this, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It is a matter of obedience. Think about that. Giving thanks is not a matter of being thankful, it's a matter of obedience. So here I'm asking you to be thankful. I want you to be thankful. Express thanks. But what is your motive for doing so? It's a command, and we must obey God's command to be thankful. Thankfulness is a command. Thankfulness, we see, that is continual. Thankfulness that is continual. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:20, if you're still there, giving thanks, what's the word? Always, for all things unto God, that the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Father, all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I draw your attention to the word always, and that's what our thought is today, is always. So we see this unceasing thanksgiving. I think of the children of Israel and the offering of their sacrifices to the Lord. The command was given to offer sacrifices unto the Lord on a daily basis. For example, the Bible says this, Numbers 28:24, after this manner ye shall offer daily throughout the 7 days. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a royal priesthood. Being spiritual priests, we are to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Such sacrifice is found in Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice that we ought to be giving continually. Continually. There's the uninhibited thanksgiving. The expression of thanksgiving is both a personal and public expression. We saw the word always, meaning at all times. All times would include being thankful around every person and in every place. It does not matter who or where or what we're doing, we should never be ashamed to express our thanks to the Lord. The psalmist wrote this, 108 verse 3, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praise unto thee among the nations. The people that the psalmist referred to is the people of God. People of God. No matter what you're going through right now, and I'll say many of us are going through tough times. It may be financial times, hard time financially. It may be a hard time with family. Don't lose your gratefulness. Don't lose your thankfulness. In fact, I would say thankfulness and gratefulness, listen to this, thankfulness and gratefulness, that's a great weapon against worry. How many of you have something you can worry about right now? Yeah. Health. Health. What you have, your family. Mothers. My mother said she was praying for 9 hours every time I drove from Maryland to Crown College. 9.5 hours. I didn't tell her I made it in 8. She prayed for me. She prayed for me. And mothers, with such compassion and such love, sometimes we can allow ourselves to worry. But I want to challenge mothers and fathers alike to be thankful. To be thankful. To be thankful. Hebrews 13:15, we covered this, the fruit of our lips. This would imply an audible expression of praise and thanksgiving. There are many Christians who are inhabited when it comes to being vocal in their praise. We should never be ashamed to lift our voice in expression of thanksgiving. The pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving. Think about that for a second. Death was rampant. They had so many things to worry about. They had so many things to be upset about, so many things to be anxious about, yet they were thankful. They were thankful. We have so many things to complain about, but we have much more to be thankful about. By the way, Satan will always have a supply of things you could be upset about. Satan will always have that supply ready for you to complain about. But God is already given you something to be thankful for. There's the uninhibited thanksgiving. We see thirdly and lastly, there's thankfulness that is comprehensive. Notice our text again. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 that we are to be thankful, look at this, for all things. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read that we are to be thankful in all things. To be thankful for all things and in all things include all the things that happens in our life. It includes the sad times as well as the glad times. It includes the hard times as well as the happy times. The Bible says the Feast of Tabernacles, of the Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23:40, and ye shall take you on the first day boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, the willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. During the Feast of Tabernacle, they would take palm and willow branches and wave them before the Lord as an expression of thanksgiving. Now, the palms are a symbol of the good times. The symbol of the good times. The willows are a symbol of the bad times. They offered their expressions of thankfulness to the Lord. They gave thanks for not only the good times, but they gave thanks for the bad times. We're teaching our children this. We should be thankful. Listen to this. I want everybody listening. We should be thankful for the blessings that other people receive. You ever done this, parents? You have one candy bar. You have three kids. You can cut it in three and make sure everybody's happy. Or you can teach them a lesson. I know it's difficult sometimes because you get that, well, how come he or she gets the candy bar and I don't get any? I want one! And then the crying begins. But it's an important lesson, and adults need to learn this lesson as well. Are you ready for this? I want you to settle down, buckle up, because I'm gonna give you something that may be controversial. Life is not fair. Not everybody gets a trophy. You with me? What a great lesson we could teach our children. Life is not fair. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. You want a trophy? You want to win a trophy in soccer? Get better. Work harder. Put the work in. So you hand that child the candy bar. And there it goes. The crying begins. And we can teach them such a great lesson. Listen, why don't you be thankful for your brother or sister receiving that gift? Doing that gift. Because when we are jealous and we're not thankful for others, here's what we're revealing. I love myself more than anybody else. Did you hear me? I love myself more than anyone else. And that's not the abundant Christian life. That's not a spirit-filled life. So we see for all things, we have God's purpose. It was Thanksgiving season in the nursing home. The small resident population was gathered about their humble Thanksgiving table, and the director asked each in turn to express one thing for which they were thankful for. Thanks were expressed for a home, which to stay, families, etc. One little old lady, in her turn, said, I thank the Lord for two perfectly good teeth. One in my upper jaw and one in my lower jaw that match so I can chew my food. Amen? Aren't you glad for your teeth? A Sunday school teacher asked her class what they were thankful for. One little boy said, "My glasses." When asked why he was thankful for his glasses, most little boys were bitter about wearing glasses. He said this, "Because they keep the boys from fighting me, and they keep the girls from kissing me." We need to be thankful for all things. Those little things we don't even think about. For all things we need to be thankful for. We have God's purpose. For all things we have God's purpose. God has a purpose in all things, and what that happens, understanding that as a purpose in all that happens, we can be thankful. His purpose. Corrie ten Boom in The Hiding Place relates an incident that taught her always to be thankful. She and her sister, Betsy, had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had ever seen. It was called Ravensbrück. On entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded and flea-infested. That morning, their scripture reading was 1 Thessalonians. And it had reminded them to rejoice always. It reminded them to pray without ceasing. And then it reminded them to give thanks. To give thanks in every circumstance. Betsy told Carrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Can you imagine how hard that was? Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted, and Corrie finally succumbed to her pleading. During the months spent at the camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without guard interference. It was not until several months later that they learned the reason the guards would not enter the barracks was because of the fleas. Thank God for the fleas. In southern Alabama, it's a town of Enterprise, in Coffee County. There they have erected a monument to an insect honoring the Mexican boll weevil. In 1895, the boll weevil began to destroy the major crop of the county, cotton. In desperation to survive, the farmers had to diversify. And by 1919, the county's peanut crop was many times what cotton had been at its head height. Many times more. In that year of prosperity, a fountain and monument were built. The inscription reads, "In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama." Out of a time of struggle and crisis had come new growth and success. Out of adversity had come blessing. Even the flea-infested barracks and the crops that were infested by an insect, we can be thankful for those little things that God has provided. Lastly, in all things we have God's presence. In all things we have God's presence. And we could be thankful for this, can't we? In all things we have God's presence. Everything that has happened, there is one thing that is absolutely certain. One thing that we can always count on. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, it says, "I will never leave thee." Now, he says, "I will always be with you." Now, listen to that. Think about that. He's giving them a command. He's asking them to go out and be a witness. And then he promises his presence. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," in Hebrews 13:5. In all things we are unsure of God's assured of God's faithful and abiding presence. There was a man named Squire Boone. He was the younger of Daniel Boone. He was wounded in battles with Indians 11 times. 11 times. Finally, he settled near Corrie ten Indiana, where he built a mill. On one of the foundations, he carved these words: "My God, my life hath much befriended. I'll praise him till my days are ended." We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? My question to you this morning is, are you always thankful? Are we always thankful? Let's pray.